From the beautiful island of Jeju in South Korea, welcome to the GCN Show.
Hello and welcome to the GCN Show. Coming up this week, we're asking how pro cyclists are stronger than ever. And don't worry, I am not alone this week. In Dan's absence, we are joined by a special guest who has been polishing up another batch of the most incredible cycling stats on the planet. Yep, Killian Kelly is joining me.
What to do with your hands?
Plus,
making fun of Dan Lloyd on social media.
Cannot imagine how much cycling's changed since I started.
So his average power for the entire race, which was 3 hours, 45 minutes, was 358 watts. Dan Bigham, who broke the world hour record in 2022,
yeah,
he produced kind of only 350 watts for the hour.
I just think it's really rude.
But it's an absolute bug.
It's offensive, it's what it is.
This week in the world of cycling, we learned that denim effect lycra is back in the pro peloton. But this time, it's not just shorts, it's double denim. Apparently, Albertson Fenix have chosen this for their new kit because denim represents the team's perspective for 2024. I quote, "Daring to stand out while keeping our feet on the ground, working hard together while having fun together. Because jeans are great for any occasion, no?" Every occasion except cycling, you would think. Vanderpool will be even more thankful that he's in rainbow stripes this year anyway. You tell me though, is it hot or is it not? Get involved in the comments. We also learned this week that perhaps actually they shouldn't be wearing denim. They should actually be wearing motorbike leathers. The top speed recorded by riders at last week's Volta ao Algarve pro race was 118 kilometers per hour. That's 73 miles per hour. How do you fancy that? Now, as you have just seen and or heard, I have got a special guest joining me this week, and you can thank DonB965 for this. He commented under last week's show, "Can Killian Kelly stand in for Dan next week? He is a very good non-presenter presenter." So, without further ado, give me 1 second. Killian, are you free for like 20 minutes? Maybe half an hour. Killian, world's greatest cycling statistician. It's a small pool, isn't it? But still, GCN's top non-presenter presenter and all-round good egg. I actually don't know what your actual day job is. You work here, though, don't you?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time making fun of Dan Lloyd on social media.
You get paid for that, do you?
Yeah. Well, my actual job is director of technology, so I'm kind of on top of the software team that used to be in charge of the GCN app and GCN Plus, and is now...
You're pointing at that because that's where it now lives. Yeah. Sad times.
And but now in charge of the website, the globalcyclingnetwork.com website.
Good stuff. All right, okay, well... With your encyclopedic knowledge of bike racing, okay, I wondered whether you can perhaps shed some light on why pros are now more powerful than ever, okay? So the reason I bring this up is because last week, at the very cool Jaén Paraíso race, which is kind of one of these gravelly-ish road races, the winner, Oyer Lazcano, uploaded his power files to Strava, and they blew my mind.
Yeah, so let's run through them, shall we, those numbers. So his average power for the entire race, which was 3 hours 45 minutes, was 358 watts. And normalised, that was 405 watts.
Oh.
His best 20-minute power was 456 watts.
I mean, when I read these, okay, my first thought was, he must be a big guy. Like a proper, you know, a unit, 85-plus kilos... In pro cycling terms, that is units, okay? But no, he's 74 kilograms. He's basically my weight. Yeah, compared to Pogacar or Vingegaard, the power-to-weight ratio of that 20 minutes is only 6.1 watts per kilo. But it's the fact that this guy hasn't actually won all that much yet, and he's still putting out numbers like this?
Well, based on the fact that you called him Lazanko on yesterday's Racing News show, my guess is you didn't know who he was, did you?
I confess, no, I did not know who he was. No, I mean, I can see from his kit that he's the Spanish national champ.
Yeah.
But then I had to look on pro cycling stats. To be fair, he has not been on my radar. He hasn't done very much, though, has he? Second at Dwars Door Flandre?
Yeah, and that was actually really impressive because he was second and he was in the break all day and he still managed to sprint for second place.
Oh, is that right?
He's, yeah, like, he's not young, like 19 and 20-year-old we've come to expect the young riders to be, but he is still young. He's only 24.
Yeah.
So still up and coming.
Still up and coming. Yeah. Okay, all right. Either way, though, those are serious numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, so it might be worth just putting these numbers into perspective for the average rider, or okay, in my case, the below-average rider. So I checked my own Strava data.
Right.
And Lazcano's 20-minute power was 456 watts. The longest I have ever managed to hold 456 watts was 1 minute and 23 seconds.
Okay. 1 minute and 23 as opposed to 20...
20 minutes.
Wow, okay.
So his average power for the whole race actually seems even more impressive when you put it into the perspective of somebody like me. So that was 358 watts for nearly 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I've only managed that for just over 2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that is pretty bonkers, isn't it?
But even on the other end of that scale, so like bringing it back to professional cycling, so reportedly, Dan Bigham, who broke the world hour record in 2022,
yeah,
he produced kind of only 350 watts for the hour. So Lazcano has done more for the entire race than Bigham did when he broke the world hour record. But I suppose it's not just about power. You know, there's weight and aerodynamics, and Dan Bigham is very small and extremely aero.
Extremely slippery individual, isn't he?
The most aero man in world cycling, I would say. So, you know, there's more to it than just absolute power numbers. But still, even like at this stage of Lazcano's career and at this stage of this season, February, amazing performances.
It is an amazing performance, but he is just like, no disrespect to him, he's just one of many now, isn't he? So the question is, I think, how are riders putting out so much power? Right, now, we have asked this question of how riders are putting out so much power before in recent years, normally in the context of the world's very best, normally in July at the Tour de France. And there are typically a few areas on it that have seen significant improvements in recent years: nutrition, training, and then a kind of large bracket called everything else.
Poo doping?
Well, I mean, we don't know yet about the effects of poo doping, but certainly microbiome, you know, it's going to be up there, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, there's just a few different bits, aren't there?
Well, nutrition is an interesting one, isn't it? Because the amount of energy a rider is putting through the pedals in a race is higher now than in years gone by. And Lazcano, for reference, produced 4,853 kilojoules in just those three hours, 45 minutes. And this is principally for the reason that they are now consuming more energy while they're cycling. They're putting more into their body during a race.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? So, I mean, it's weird to think, but people are, you know, less likely to bonk these days, aren't they? Basically, they're just not going to hit the wall. Races are faster from the gun, and that's part of it. The other part, I think, as well, is a shift in tactics, right? In fact, we heard this from Mark Cavendish. So our Italian colleague, Alan Marangoni, spoke to Cav at the UAE Tour just a couple of days ago, actually. So have a listen to this.
You cannot imagine how much cycling's changed since I started. I think there's been maybe 3-4 iterations of cycling, you know, in terms of the sporting side. Yeah, I think those teams came along, like Sky came along, and instead of it being slow and then fast, there was two speeds instead of slow. Like, there was one constant tempo, and it changed the demographic of riders that was able to ride. You know, you had to be able to sustain a high tempo the whole day. And then science came in and data was able to be analysed, and riders were no longer kind of picked on if they could win races or not. It was on how strong they were, you know? And it changed a bit then again, because there's only a couple of riders could win races. And now everybody is strong, you know?
I know.
So, like, now there's the riders who win, or also, it's not just you have to be able to race. There's guys who are strong and can race. So it's kind of gone full circle. It's just that the level's gone high because of that now. So it's been massive. I'm lucky that I've been able to kind of adapt to that. and see it. But this world's apart from when I started, that's for sure.
Interesting. We will have more from that interview in the coming week, actually, so stay tuned. Now, we should also say nutrition extends into training as well. So riders can train harder and recover faster. A lot of it down to actually embracing carbohydrates these days. And I think as well, it's not just limited to the pro ranks either. This elevated power output is going right the way down through the amateur ranks as well into kind of third and fourth cat races.
I wouldn't know. Although I have won a couple of DCAT Swift races, so.
There you go. Yeah, do you have an energy gel on the start line?
I often do, yeah.
Do you? There you go.
Yeah. But I suppose the message is fuel correctly. Yeah. Realistically, there are going to be a load of other factors too. Altitude training, endless training camps, sleep monitoring now, it all adds up.
Yeah. Rather than the me, it's got to be said, I think mentally, it's got to be super tough, like living on a mountaintop in a permanent training camp. I mean, at least Netflix has been invented now. It wasn't around in my day, but yeah. You know, still, like...
queuing up to make phone calls and
I mean, it was literally like that. You know, I like reading, but there was a limit as to how much. Anyway, let's not go back to those times. Let us know what you think about this in the comments section down below. Be super interested to hear your thoughts. I know some people will automatically turn to the dark side whenever we talk about how much people are improving these days, but really, really interesting topic because clearly people are improving and getting faster.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Right, Cycling Shorts now. I'm going to start with the news that Oakley have some new glasses, the Sphera. And I confess that to begin with, I thought they were actually making a strange choice of, instead of using one of their sponsored athletes, to get like a random silver fox to model them. But no, it turns out it's actually Mark Cavendish. Yeah, look at that.
He does look ruggedly good, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Weirdly, Oakley are marketing these on being forgettable. Which is kind of ballsy, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So apparently they said they're forgettable because they're so light and have such a good field of vision as opposed to being just blandly forgettable. But you've got to say, in a world of POC helmets, perhaps it's no bad thing to be bland.
Well, that new POC road helmet is a bold move, but I don't think they are in top spot on the ugly helmet tree. In a stacked field, the Specialized Darth Vader head condom is still undefeated.
It is, yeah. You just wait till Specialized bring out a road version of that, because it will come. It will come. Interestingly, I saw this photo, actually, of the Lidl Trek team, and I thought how that Bontrager helmet looks exactly like the Specialized head condom, but on backwards. Uncanny. Anyway, I have actually heard on the grapevine that that POC road helmet is fast, like proper fast. So I'm afraid, folks, you are looking at your new normal. That is what pro cycling is going to look like.
Yeah.
They're all going to do it. Right, now, sticking with tech, speeds are getting higher, but they aren't keeping pace with chainring sizes, though, which actually, in and of themselves, are almost a spectator sport at the moment.
Remco had a whopping 62-tooth chainring on last week, but Tobias Foss has got a 68-tooth monster on his Pinarello time trial bike.
Yeah, now, I wanted to see, right, how fast you'd need to ride in order to be able to spin a 68-tooth chainring. And do you know what? It's actually quite disappointing. Okay, genuinely, right? So in your 11 tooth, 100 RPM, it is quite impressive, 78.3 kilometres per hour.
Mm.
So, I mean, on the flat, that's going some. And in fact, time trial bike, in the skis, downhill, that's going some. But in the middle of your cassette, so perhaps your 19 tooth, it's just 45k an hour. In your 30 tooth sprocket on the cassette, it's just 28k's an hour.
I could use that.
Yeah. And you know what? I think you should. I think you would look like the absolute don on the start line of the Tour of Flanders Sportif, Kelly, with that on. Maybe not quite so cool as you have to walk up every single climb, but on the start line, you would be a hero with a 68-tooth chainring. So if you wouldn't mind, I think we should do that.
There's been a lot of racing chat so far this week, so what else has been going on in the world of cycling?
Well, that's a good question. I spotted an article on westword.com, which is a website which has its finger firmly on the cultural pulse of Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City.
What are we looking at that for?
It's a good question. Denver, special place in my heart, Killing, quite frankly. Anyway, the article was about the fact that Denver now has just 3 bike messengers, okay, down from over 100 in its heyday.
Weird. as there are so many food delivery riders now.
Yeah.
Messenger culture has kind of completely died.
It has, yeah.
Shame, really.
Yeah.
Some good news, though. I spotted this gem on Bike Portland. Apparently, the annual Portland Bureau of Transportation's annual stats are in. And bike riding in the city is up by 5%.
You do love a stat, don't you? That is good news, though, isn't it, right?
Well, interestingly, it's still a big drop from pre-pandemic levels, which is counter to what many other cities around the world are experiencing.
True that, yeah.
Perhaps because more people are still working from home.
Well, I mean, Portland does strike me as the kind of place where people are trendy like that and would work from home.
Yeah.
But yeah, either way, any increase in bike participation is a good increase, I think, as far as we're concerned, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Right, now we've got some more tech news for you now. Campagnolo, the venerable Italian groupset manufacturer, have got a new gravel groupset out, literally just out. It's a more affordable version of eCar to welcome along eCar GT.
Still 13-speed, but with a few tweaks here and there to build on eCar that was launched in 2020. Improved shifting, improved ergonomics, and with just a slight weight penalty through aluminium cranks and the like.
That's right, yeah. Now, it is not a budget group set, so it's more affordable, but it's not budget. The retail is still a few hundred dollars less, though, than when eCar came out nearly 4 years ago. So, no word, though, on what price point that eCar GT-equipped complete bikes will be at. That's kind of the most important thing, isn't it, as opposed to, like, a standalone group set price. Anyway, last bit of tech news. We are delighted to welcome Elite Wheels as a partner to GCN. If you're not familiar with the brand, Ollie and Alex have a video for you on GCN Tech that's coming this weekend. But Ollie used them in the Taiwan KOM Challenge back in the autumn and was super impressed with that. So, that's well good. They'll look good on your bike with a 68 tooth chainring as well. Right, we've got one last thing. Oh, sorry. Here we go. The GCN Road Bike Maintenance Book. Now, we've got a bit of a special offer going on, so I'm told. If you buy the GCN Road Bike Maintenance Book, which is an absolute banger for all of your bike maintenance needs, you get a free arse saver, which is pretty cool, isn't it?
I might try and steal both of those. I don't know how to do anything with my bike.
Well, there you go. That will literally tell you everything. And these, they are phenomenally effective. No, go on. They're phenomenally effective. So there you go. GCN book with free arse saver. Bonus.
So it's time now for hack / bodge of the week.
And
the
first. Impressive, that.
Wow. And the first one up is from a person called Simon.
Yeah, not me.
And it is a horn which has been sticky taped to the handlebars of a specialised bike. And it is...
It's offensive, is what it is. But I'm really sorry. Like, I'm not a massive fan of zip ties, as regular viewers will know.
Yeah.
But I really hate sellotape. Like, at least use electrical tape, which, you know, has quite a nice aesthetic. But sticky tape, oh, my God. And coupled with the fact, I hate bells and horns on bikes, not for aesthetic reasons, before people start typing away. I don't like being on foot and someone dings a bell at me. I just think it's really rude. Use your voice. Just say, hello, excuse me. I think, oh, that's really nice. Someone's taking the time and the effort to say hello, as opposed to ding, ding, which is the bicycle equivalent of a car horn.
Well,
if someone beat their car horn at me, I'd be like, I'm not getting out of the way.
Are they not required in some countries?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Legally, I mean, it's absolutely fine, but just don't ring it at me, all right?
Well, this one reminds me of a hack or badge submission that I submitted to the GCN show years before I worked here. And I actually can't remember if it made it onto the show or not. I must check this out, but I had sticky taped a bike light. I had an old steel Colnago, which I'm pretty sure my dad had pulled out of a skip, which I used to
cycle. Not a bad skip find. Yeah,
I still have it. It still works. And I can't remember why something went wrong with my bracket to hold the light on, but in a very similar way, I had sticky taped the light onto my handlebar. So my heart is saying hack for this because it's, you know.
Yeah.
But it's an absolute bodge.
Yeah, it is a bodge, isn't it? Yeah. I made the rookie error of running out of battery for my rear light after last week's GCN show filming. So I went begging to our ace mechanics and said, guys, have you got a light to bail me out with? And anyway, They did exactly that, but with electrical tape. So I have this light electrical taped underneath my saddle on my Pinarello.
Currently.
And it looks amazing. Yeah, currently. It looks like something out of Knight Rider, this thing. Genuinely, it's very cool. So all you got to do, Simon, is electrical tape as opposed to sellotape. You got yourself a hack. It's just, yeah, anyway, let's move on, shall we? Homer Hicks sent this one in. After riding through flooded lanes every Sunday through the winter, my wheels have been taken on water through the valve hole, so I just made neoprene washers to sit under the valve lock ring. So there we go. I do you know what? Like, water-filled wheels is one of those really irritating things.
Does it happen a lot?
Yeah, it can do, yeah. I mean, right now, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that a little bit of neoprene would work. I mean, has it worked? Perhaps you'd better let us know. I can't imagine it would work. Neoprene overshoes just wet out, don't they, eventually?
Well, if you've got the lock ring and you have the ability to do it really, really tight so it's kind of scrunched into the hole,
yeah.
I think it might work. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What are we saying then? Are we going to give that a hack?
I'd give that a hack. I think it's pretty neat.
Do you know what else would work? Electrical tape. If you ever got rattly valves in your rims, yeah. Put a bit of electrical tape over the top, put it really tight, and tape it down onto the rim. Stops it.
Yeah,
electrical tape. There you go.
But still a hack for this one.
Sorry, digressing. I mean, I just need to know whether it works. If it works, and if it cures rattly valve stems, then I think I'm up for that. I think that's cool. Yeah, I'll give it a hack. Come on, should we hack it?
All right. Well, hopefully, yeah. Get in touch in the comments and let us know if it worked or not.
Yeah, all right. And last one. Do you want to read it out?
And then Don Launder has sent in... what he's done is he's taken his bottle cage off his bike and he has attached it to his workbench and he's put a can of beer in it as a beer holder. So in Dan's absence, hack, automatic hack.
I think it is, actually. Yeah. That is super neat. I mean, what can you say? Like, having somewhere to hold your beer whilst you're working so it doesn't tip over. Yeah. I like that. I'm intrigued about the other stuff that's on Don's workbench. A couple of nice saddles there. What's that thing? Is it like a label maker or something?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
That's cool, that's Don. Why have you got a label maker?
That's very nerdy. A
it
label
is,
maker,
yeah.
For any reason.
I like it. Yeah, go on. Let's, you know, he's basically kitted out his workshop. So that's a hack from me. Hack. Right, there we go. Just three for you this week. A reminder, though, as always, that you can still send in your hacks and bodges. The uploader is where you want. The link to it is in the description beneath this video. And you can also get through to it on the website now, or have I made that up?
Soon.
Soon you can get through to it.
We're working
website.
On a much better way of uploading content via the new website instead of the old one. So coming soon.
Okay, all right. But in the meantime, it's very simple. It is one link to click in the description. So get on it. Right, it's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted, really coveted these days, GCN Camelback water bottle. Because we haven't got any yet. However, I actually have got an update today, finally, after about 8 weeks or something. Apparently, they're going to be in a couple of weeks.
Excellent.
Yeah, so as long as there's no, like, hold-ups in the Suez Canal or whatever, we should be trucking for 2 weeks' time. So there you go. Anyway, without further ado, we'll get on to results from last week, first of all, where we gave you this photo of Javier Ernesto winning the Vuelta. No, it wasn't the Vuelta Colombia. I made that mistake last week. It was the Tour Colombia, wasn't it? Anyway, he's got a giant beer on the podium and he's about to sling it. Justin Cornelius came in with his absolute banger, proof that pro cyclists can't hold their beer. Love it.
Very good.
Very good. Right then, this week, Killian, are you ready to fill Lloydie's shoes?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the photo for you to get your teeth stuck into. This is Chris Hamilton on the front in a stage of the Tour des Alpes Maritimes Pays du Var.
Well, it's just up our team now, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
They've separated the VAR bit out into a one-day race.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that from the GCN Racing News show that I did yesterday. Anyway, yeah, go on then. Killian, what do you fancy for this one?
Ah, forgot my saddle.
There you go. Now, if you can't see this, then that might not make sense. But Chris is pulling quite a face, isn't he? Which is the kind of face that you would pull if you'd sat on a bike with no saddle. So anyway, there you go.
I think that was a really good one. Do you want to take that bottle? Do you want it?
Yeah. I'll draw a GCN on it.
There you go. We've got a winner. If you think that you can equal Killian's caption, then get involved in the comments section down below and we will pick a winner next week. I like that.
That was good.
Right then, comment of the week. Now, we pick out some of our favourite comments that you've been leaving on the channel over the last week. Killian, do you want to get us started from under last week's show?
So that was the show about...
what cyclists do that really annoy car drivers.
Yeah.
Itself quite a polarising title, it would appear.
Yeah, and a lot of comments under that show.
There were, yeah.
And from Torashu Panda 781 says, in my experience, car drivers just hate everyone that they feel are getting in their way. Motorcyclists, where I live, usually don't respect red lights, but they're not getting in the way of car drivers, so we just call them idiots.
Nice. Yeah, well, yeah, I think that's true, actually, and because we did have... oh, we had that transport historian basically was saying the same thing. Roads are just designed to funnel cars around as efficiently as possible. And if anything gets in the way, it's an irritation. And unfortunately, you know, cyclists are like that. Bob Zudema came up with this interesting one though. I changed a few things in my behaviour, and ever since then I've had no arguments with other drivers and saw more smiles and had frequent go-aheads when I had no right of way. Of course, I still make mistakes, but I then apologise, and mostly this is appreciated, and we both go on with a smile instead of a grim face. Now, for I think there's a big camp of cyclists that almost don't want to admit that our behaviour might have an impact on the way other people see us. And I can sympathise with that, right? Because if someone's going to be angry in their car, then what you or I do probably isn't going to affect it. But I can't help but think it's linked, right?
Yeah. I watched last week's show and I remember thinking that, I mean, I drive a car as well and I get annoyed at cyclists sometimes, but I often find it helps. Somebody said this to me once and it stuck with me, that if ever you do find yourself getting annoyed with cyclists, just imagine it's your own daughter or your own kid or somebody you care about or your mother, and just that's the way you should behave if that person on the bike is your mother.
That's really true, actually, isn't it? Because, I mean, again, we've seen your research, haven't we, on the GCN show, like it's easy to dehumanise other people, you know, particularly if you're in an insulated metal box, it's all too easy to dehumanise people. And yeah, that's a really good way of bringing it back, actually. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I've also taken your... you don't have to, but you get to thing from your video the other
week. That was really genuine. I really use that quite a lot for everything. Work, family, home. Yeah. If anybody didn't see that video, it was... if you find yourself saying, oh, I have to do something, or I have to go out training or whatever it might be, just change have to get. Like, oh, I get to. And kind of tricks your brain into thinking that actually life's okay.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? How is the training that you're getting to do at the moment?
It's going pretty good.
This is prep for Tour of Flanders Sportive, by the way.
So that's coming up at the end of March, last weekend of March. So, it's going okay, I think. I think I'm getting a little bit worried that I'm not getting worried, that I'm not stressing enough, that I'm not doing enough. So I feel all right. Although I do think there are kind of three reasons for this, that I'm not worrying as much. The terrain.
Yeah.
Which is in Flanders, is actually very similar to where I live in Cork, in the region. They're full of very short, steep climbs as well. The road surface...
as me and Lance found out.
Yeah, really hard. And the road surface, which where I live is pretty terrible anyway, you know, they're not glorious roads. And the weather. When I did the etap, I was just stressing about the weather all the time because it was so hot in France in the summer. But Flanders in March, same as Ireland.
There we go.
Be fine.
I like it. I think it's good to go with a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be cool, man.
Overconfidence?
No, you'll smash it. Anyway,
sorry.
If you haven't seen Killian's first video where he introduces his challenge, it went up a couple of weeks ago on GCN. So yeah, go find that one. Right, back to some comments. Alex raced the Raddle Gravel race out in Adelaide the other week and did really well. Alex Shaw said, it's insane how much Alex managed to accomplish in Australia. It takes me a week to get over the jet lag alone. And prior to this gravel race, he was riding with Tiffany Cromwell and Valtteri Bottas, cycling up with Hill with Richie Port, riding at a 40k an hour pace in multiple crit races. Inspirational stuff. And actually, Alex finished the crit race that he made a video about less than 12 hours before he started the pro race for Rattle Gravel. So yeah, he was feeling a little bit tired by the end of it. But anyway, yeah, it was absolutely awesome, that.
And underneath the video where we put a weight vest on Chad Haga and made Conor Dunn race against him, Mr. Vizzle says, "Great to see. I do not need to lose weight. Just need to add 200 watts and job done."
Yeah, that's it. And then I made a video last week about how much I hate high vis. Currently, there are 1,325 comments and counting on that, which is amazing. So much interesting stuff under there. So thank you, everyone who's taking the time to write a comment. A few that I picked out. Jay Bozeman said, "Infrastructure is key. PPE, so personal protective equipment, is always the last resort. Very interesting regarding reflective versus high vis difference." And actually, there was someone else who wrote about PPE. Apparently, in health and safety things, in jobs that require that, they always say PPE is the last resort. So that's like, you know, you try and do everything you can, health and safety, and then the last resort is PPE. Yeah. So it does feel like that's a kind of, you know, that's where high vis should fit into things. And then Nicholas Sale said, "My sister, brackets, a keen cyclist, used the phrase I've often repeated for cyclists not wearing fluorescent and reflective clothing. She calls it suicide black." Well, I don't know what, like, I'm not entirely sure I agree with that, but it feels like if you're really, like,
it's like victim blaming, isn't it?
It is, yeah. If you really love wearing high vis, it feels like you really love wearing high vis, and anything that's not is, you know, like that. So yeah, I'm not entirely sure I agree, but anyway, I think there'll be many people who do agree with your sister there. So yeah, there we go. But anyway, you don't need to wear it on your torso, as you found out. It's all about your shoes and your socks and your knees.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you've got high vis knees, you're winning.
I've got high vis shoes.
There you go. Yeah, no, seriously, it's like, it's the little things that our vision scientist said. So yeah, there we go, just a couple. And then before we leave you, actually two things. I wanted to ask you, Killian, we're getting a bit in the comments section. Some people still waiting on their refunds for GCM Plus.
Yes.
Can you give us an update?
Yeah, so if you subscribed directly to us via the website or via Google, you really should have received your refund by now. So do let us know if you haven't, and we'll chase that up for you. If you subscribed via Apple, there is a delay in the Apple refunds. It's taking longer than we would like, and I think most people who have been complaining about it have been Apple subscribers. I've personally been pressuring them to do it quicker, and so that this can all get wrapped up and everybody can get their refund. So apologies that hasn't happened yet, but we're still working on it, and hopefully it won't be too much longer.
Cool. All right. Well, there you go then. Thanks for the update, Killian. And sure. And yeah, basically, we've got to be patient.
Yeah.
It's weird that Apple haven't got, you know, it's not top of their priority list, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are answering your emails, though, are they?
They do, yeah. That's from time to time, yeah. They're still being nice to me, yeah.
Good. Oh, I like that. That's cool. Right then, we'll quickly finish up with what is coming up on GCN this week, shall we? Do you want to run through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? That's kind of how we roll, traditionally.
Okay.
You probably don't know what these
well,
are.
Well, I don't. I'm learning about them for the first time, but maybe you could tell me. So on Wednesday, we've got How to Ride a Fixie Like a Pro.
So Manon teaches you how to ride a Fixie, and she used to race track for a living. She won a World Cup, so she knows what she's doing. But anyway, so there you go. That's that one.
I've ridden a Fixie bike once, and I fell off and broke my collarbone.
Did you? Oh, my God. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. I hate Fixies, if I'm completely honest.
It was only about... I was only on it for about 15 seconds, and that was that. On Thursday, five most common bike fit mistakes.
This is a video about the most common bike fit mistakes, and there's five of them.
Okay. On Friday, we've got behind the scenes at the World Tour, where Manon was at the UAE Tour recently.
That's right, yeah. So basically, she had a wicked trip, and so she thought she'd make a bit of a video about going out there and all the cool stuff she saw. So anyway, we're putting it out on Friday. So yeah, check that one out. That was the women's UAE tour. And then, and like you've seen, we've got Alan Marangoni out at the UAE men's tour. Saturday, winter bikepacking challenge. So myself and Hank embarked on exactly this, a winter bikepacking challenge. So you can see that on Saturday. We had a lot of fun, actually. It was something a little bit different for GCN. So make sure you check it out. And then on Sunday, all of the GCN presenters pretty much, I think, got involved with a giant presenter race. So Zwift have got their annual Zwift Games coming up, where the world's best Zwifter will be crowned and given a truckload of money as well. So we fought it out on basically the same kind of format with a sprint event, an endurance event, and then a climb event. So you get to find out who the best GCN Zwifter is this Sunday.
I didn't get invited to that, sorry, no.
You were training that day, I think. Your calendar said you were training that
Fair
day.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but...
that's okay.
Yeah.
Next year,
that's a good point, actually. Why you didn't get the invite? Right, next year. Okay, well, Killian, thank you so much for joining us this week. It's been super cool, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You'll have to come back someday.
Yeah. Well, I'd say Lloyd will want his chair back.
I mean, he will, but anyway, if you want to ask Killian any stats questions, like we said, get involved in the comment section down below, and we'll send them your way.
Do.
Great stuff. All right, cheers, everyone. Thank you very much for watching or listening, and we will see you next week.